Hi, this is Tiffany the Last.
And this is Pirate RC.
And we're on the phone with Northern States party starter Sprout. Hi, Sprout.
Hi, how you doing? Get ready already, no time to waste. No matter what we do, it's still the case. We're stuck in one place like I'm standing on your shoelace. We come face to face or stand back to back. We trick the train to stay on track.
Our listeners, how you came up with your MC name of Sprout?
Sure, I can actually. I took a year off from college and I did an internship out in California working at an environmental education school. And in true California fashion, when I got there, everybody gave up their names and took on nature names.
Like us. So,
exactly. And so it was cool because you had to name yourself. So I definitely had to give it a lot of thought and really look deep within and come up with, either like an animal or a vegetable or something that I identified with. And so, I don't know, it came to me one night sleeping. Like, we went on like a river rafting trip at the beginning of the internship, and sleeping in my sleeping bag along the bank of the river, I came up with the name Sprout, and everybody liked it. It really caught on. It was like one of the names that really caught on, and everyone called me Sprout for that whole year that I was out there. And then when I came back to New York and went back to school, and it just was kind of like my nickname that everybody really called me. You know, it really stuck. So for years later, people were still calling me Sprout. And then when we started the band, it just kind of made sense to use the same nickname rather than come up with yet another ridiculous nickname, which may or may not become confusing. So I just stuck with that.
Yeah, nice. How did Northern State form?
The way that we formed was essentially, you know, we were all friends. We had grown up together on Long Island. We went to the same high school. And then we all went away to college in different places and kind of found our way back to New York City slowly, like, over time. Like, Hester Prynne actually transferred to NYU, and so she was in Manhattan already during college. And then when Spiro graduated from Oberlin, she moved down to New York, and I was still up in Poughkeepsie and Vassar, and I was there an extra year because I'd taken a year off, so I was still up there, and then eventually I moved down to Brooklyn, and we were all hanging out as friends. I mean, we were kind of like reconnecting after college, and we were all working different odd jobs, and none of us were particularly happy in our lines of work, and we were hanging out and partying a lot and like listening to a lot of hip-hop music and just, you know, acting really goofy and getting drunk and dancing around and listening to music. And one night we kind of had this, like, you know, ridiculous idea that we should start a hip-hop band. And at the moment that we had the ridiculous idea, we kind of all looked at each other and thought, wait a minute, maybe this isn't such a ridiculous idea after all. It's actually kind of a brilliant idea, and it's really missing in hip-hop at this moment, you know, and we could really do it if we were remotely serious. And so we decided to start having band meetings where to get together and, you know, bring our rhymes, which at the time, like, I didn't really know what that even meant, but I just kind of went back into a lot of we'd all been, for a long time, most of our lives, been girls who kept journals and did a lot of writing and journaling and poetry and whatever else. And so we just kind of went back and looked through some of our writing and saw what we could come up with and started putting ideas together and thinking about it in a different way. And once we put it together, our first song, we were kind of like, oh, this is a great idea and could actually be a really cool platform to, you know, talk about issues, feminist issues, political issues, you know, get people's attention, do something silly and goofy, but also very empowering. And really, you know, it started out in that vein and, you know, just basically entertaining our friends and goofing around at parties and kind of doing little like impromptu performances. And everyone around us was just like super into it and really encouraging and really floored by what we were doing. And we started, you know, from there, like booking shows and playing out and you know, really having a band.
Yeah. So had any of you in the past thought about going into music? Had any of your friends tried it in any other bands? Or was this the first thing for all of you?
It was the first band that the three of us were in, but we all were involved in music and in performance in different ways for many, many years. And we all grew up around a lot of musicians and other people who were in bands, I would say mostly guys.
Yeah,
and it wasn't really... Yeah, and I mean, I had, by that time, was already playing guitar, and Spiro was playing guitar as well, and she had gone back to school. When she moved back to New York, she'd gone back to school for audio engineering, and she was really interested in more of the production side of music and, you know, building a home studio and doing some recordings. And so she was kind of already on that tip, and I played some instruments, and Julie had gone to NYU for acting, so she had a real background in performance, and she'd been, you know, auditioning for commercials and, like, doing all kinds of stuff like that. So we all kind of had our own connection to music in a different way. But once we got together in this format, it was at that point that we realized we could really be a band. And, you know, I think growing up, it never occurred to us that we could be a hip-hop band. It just never seemed like an option for three white girls from Long Island. but once we came up with the idea, we realized that it's actually... utilizes a lot of our talents, and it made a lot of sense, but, you know, we couldn't have foreseen that beforehand.
It does make sense, though, as far as even Julie, who does acting, because what you'll see right now is a lot of hip-hop artists and rappers specifically making a transition into acting, so it actually, exactly. That it would go the other way makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and also just that it is really a performance. I mean, you know, we are a band, primarily we're musicians. But, you know, if you've ever seen us play live, what we do is very performative, and it's you know, somewhere between being in a rock band, being hip-hop MCs, and also just kind of being, like, performance artists, where we, like, are entertainers, and we get up on stage, and we have a lot of energy, and we entertain the crowd, and we keep things moving, and it's a real party. And so each of us in our own way was kind of, like, preparing for that without even realizing it, I think, at the time.
And do you guys tend to battle with each other at all, like on stage? And I mean, just in the hip-hop fashion of kind of punking on each other, have you stayed away from that and gone more into substantial messages with your music?
Yeah, we've never really been battle MCs. That's kind of not how we came up. We didn't grow up in a place where people were battling on the corner. So it just never really, you know, was something that we were comfortable doing. We much more come from a background of being around bands and people who write songs and sitting down and actually thinking out, you know, what we want our rhymes to be about, how we want them to fit together and play off each other, and, you know, working in a more, like, collaborative songwriting fashion.
Mm-hmm. I read that you're not only writing music and your rhymes, but you're also working on a book. Could you tell us about that?
Yeah, it's actually really exciting. I'm supposed to be writing it right now. Taking a little break, which is fine, but I have a contract to write a book that is going to be for, like, 12 to 16 year old girls, and it's a how-to book about how to start a band.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, I'm pretty pumped about it, because it's really, like, it's kind of been really fun to write, because it's a lot, you know, it comes from a lot of my own experience. In addition to Northern State, Spiro and I have kind of another band that's like a side project, Rock Band, with a bunch of our girlfriends.
Oh,
and
cool.
So a lot of the experiences that I'm writing about in the book kind of draw from Northern State and also from this other band, which is called Lucky Bitch. And, and you know, it's just kind of about, like, the process of getting your girls together and starting a band, whether you feel prepared to do that or not. It's just something you want to do for fun or for more serious reasons, but it's kind of like a, you know, an easy-to-read guide that kind of takes you through the whole process of getting the girls together, deciding who's going to be in the band, what instruments people are going to play, how to name your band, like, what kinds of music you might want to play, choosing cover songs. You know, it's just like a kind of really fun look at it that will hopefully, you know, gain some some younger fans for Northern State, which I think would be really great.
Yeah, you definitely have a great message for people to hear.
Especially young girls.
Yeah.
Because a lot of them...
Exactly.
I mean, when you look at now, you know, their influences are not really actual musicians and actual... artists
right.
who are creating their own thing, right? So
exactly, it's a lot of pop music,
right? Which is
okay.
True.
And it's totally okay, but you know, it is hard. I think for a lot of women, especially, I mean, young girls. Certainly, the three of us felt that way. That, you know, we couldn't really picture ourselves in a band because we didn't really have that much of an idea of what it would look like for us to do it. You know, certainly not as MCs. You know, it's like we didn't really have any white female role models. three of us, like, I mean, that's kind of part of what makes, I think, makes our band work and makes our music interesting, is that there are three of us who listen to lots of different things. Hip-hop was always something that united our musical tastes, and we all grew up listening to the Beastie Boys and listening to old-school rap, Run DMC, LL Cool J, De La Soul. Like, that kind of stuff was really, you know, obviously popular when we were growing up, and we listened to it a lot. But we all also had other tastes that kind of inform how we write and you know, what we are interested in writing about. Lots of female artists from, like, you know, folk musicians like Joni Mitchell, or, you know, singer-songwriters like Tori Amos, or also bands like Luscious Jackson or Hole. Courtney Love is a big inspiration, Liz Phair. I mean, there's just, like, a lot of women who kind of were, like, doing their own thing at a time when that was really important for us to see. And I think that we really have picked up on that vibe and that energy and that kind of, like, punk spirit. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we really try to get that message across to young girls, that it's, like, it can be anything. You know, you don't have to be in a hip-hop band. Three of us happen to choose that, mm-hmm. because that's the music that spoke to our generation, but it can be anything as long as it's, like, it's you and it's unique and it's got your energy and your spirit and you're, you know, feeling empowered to do it.
Yeah, and also don't just listen to one genre. You know, open up yourself to more.
Exactly. And that's, you know, very much what I'm trying to concentrate on in the book, is just, like, this notion of, you know, experimenting and playing music earlier and feeling empowered to do it. And even if you've never picked up an instrument before, it shouldn't have to stop you. I mean, there are girls in Lucky Bitch of my other band who literally never played an instrument before. And we were like, oh, well, we need a bass player. So let's just our friend Andrea to pick up the bass and learn how to play it. And she's doing great. You know, I mean, she's not the world's best bass player, but she's learning so much and getting better, like, all the time, and we rock out and we have these jam sessions and it's just so much fun, and we fucking crack up and we think we crack ourselves up because we just rock out. We'll play a song for like 12 minutes as if we're like the Grateful Dead. Like, we don't even care, you know. We do it for our own enjoyment, and it's like one of the most fulfilling, relaxing, like, freeing experiences, just mm-hmm. getting a bunch of girls in the room and plugging in and rocking out and playing as sloppy, as loud, as, you know, whatever. It's like, no one cares. You know, it's not to make money. It's not to prove anything. It's just to have a good time.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, it's a rare opportunity one gets to actually just have fun and do something like that.
And be creative and express your creativity and write really silly songs and just have a good time.
Is there, just in thinking about what you said about your book, you had, for example, a topic of how to choose a cover song, and then you just told us about your influences. Is there any song that you're interested in mixing in with one of your hip-hop songs in Northern State at some point that you just
we just got asked to do for a compilation, some small label called The Vinyl Summer, and they wanted to put out a compilation of female-fronted bands covering music by male-fronted bands that, you know, have kind of influenced them.
Yeah.
And so we actually just did, in the studio, we just did a cover of Dire Straits' Money for Nothing.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So it's really funny. I mean, it sounds good. It's not 100% done. We still have to mix and do a couple more things, but it's almost finished and it should come out at some point. So that was like, we kind of racked our brains trying to come up with, like, what would be a good cover song for us to do. We didn't really want to do a hip-hop song
straightforward
because we thought it would be, like, almost too straightforward.
It would have just
So we wanted to kind of, like, take a rock song and, like, make it a little bit more northern, like, Northern State it a little bit. And I thought that was a really good choice. And, of course, you know, we talked about doing a million songs in the process of deciding. We talked about doing Bob Dylan songs, and we talked about doing so many. Like, I can't even remember now. The list was, like, out of control. But so that's what we settled on. But, yeah, I think that, like, it's really fun to do that. It's really fun to play around and, you know, give something, a song that you love and have heard a million times, give it, like, a totally new interpretation and give it your band's own, you know, comment and sort of, like, I mean, that song also kind of had, like, some weird sort of sexist imagery, and it was fun to, like, turn it on its head, and there's, like, a kind of, like, an anti-gay sentiment, and it was just, like, good to be able to, like, reclaim that and, you know, flip it around and turn it on its head and do it in our own way. So
cool. I can't wait.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
This past year you were in the studio with your new album, and you worked with some amazing producers. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, we basically did almost the whole record with Chuck Brody from Shiitake Monkey, who is a great friend of ours, and he's an amazing producer, and he's a super, super talented musician, and it was really exciting to work with him, and he was just so patient and kind and amazing and gave us so much time and really took on the whole project as, like, you know, as a pet project, and we really, like, worked on the entire record from beginning to end with him, and he did an amazing job. The response has been so fabulous, and throughout the process, we also had the amazing opportunity of working with Ad Rock from the Beastie Boys on two tracks. He came in and you know, gave us some amazing beats, and, you know, totally, it was great. It was like a dream come true for me as, like, a, you know, total Beastie Boys fan growing up my whole life. Ad Rock was always my favorite, and there he was, like, in our studio, hanging out, drinking coffee, and, you know, goofing around with us and giving us some really good ideas for choruses and you know, just kind of, like, you know, hanging. And he really wasn't in a great rut. We always kind of felt like whenever Adam would come by the studio, like, we should hurry up and do whatever we were going to do real quick so that if he wanted to leave, he could go, and we didn't want to take up too much of his time. But he was totally down to chill and hang out with us, and he was just, like, a super mellow, really, really nice guy, and it went, the collaboration went really well. And we're really happy with this because we did with him, so that's pretty exciting.
I'm Sprout, you say hooray, I'm Shantae, and I'm feeling pretty good, are you okay? Now I'm broke as a joke in the month of May. Tell me what the F has happened to the USA. South Dakota lost their mind today, and I'm feeling it down to my DNA. There's one more thing that I want to say. What do you think you're covering with that toupee? We got the good raps to make your hands clap. We got the big beats, so get out your seats. We got the fresh rhyme, we always on time. We got the routine, we back on the scene. One a penny, two a penny, hot cross bun. What?
When will that record be coming out?
It will be coming out this summer, it looks like. We haven't exactly finalized the plans yet, but we're talking to a couple of labels that are interested in putting it out, and we're just kind of finalizing the, you know, what it's going to look like and when and the timetable. But it should come out this summer, and then we'll hopefully be back out on the road promoting it.
Do you plan to do a tour across the U.S., hopefully?
Yeah, exactly. We're gonna hopefully do a tour across the U.S. and hopefully also Canada.
Cool.
Yeah, we're really excited about it. We're excited to have our fans hear the new music and for us to be able to get back out and do a proper tour. It's definitely been a while. It's been hard for us to travel. We haven't really had the money to be able to do it, and hopefully this record will be the you know, the vehicle that gets us back out on the road and helps us you know, get the word out.
Are you still all working day jobs essentially?
We didn't. Yeah, I mean, we didn't for a while. There was, you know, there was a time period when we were signed to Columbia and we were able to do the band totally full time, which was amazing, and, you know, and a real blessing. But it doesn't always last. So we all have kind of taken, you know, different odd jobs, and that's partially how the book came about. Was I, you know, was kind of looking for something else to do and to, you know, have another income stream. So I got involved with that, and I also work for a nonprofit in New York City that does arts education.
Oh,
so I teach a couple days a week out in Brooklyn. I teach little kids. I do, like, early childhood literacy through art. So it's, like, music and dance and cooking, and it's really fun, actually. I really enjoy it. My kids are really adorable. Mm-hmm. And the other girls do some other things as well. So, you know, we're kind of, like, we're hustling. We're trying to make it happen, and we're kind of hoping that this record will, you know, will be the step in the right direction.
Have you guys been performing your new stuff at all for different audiences?
Yeah. Yeah, we've definitely been playing in New York quite a bit, and, you know, a couple of shows here and there that we've got invited to go play. So we have played some of most of the new material, you know, at least a few times, and we're really excited to tour again. And we're going, in a couple of weeks, we're going down to Austin for South by Southwest.
Oh, great.
So we're excited about that. Yeah, we've never been, so we're really excited about that trip. And we have a couple shows booked along the way there and along the way home, and we're going to get to play in Denton, Texas with the Polyphonic Spree a week after. How's my Southwest? So that should be super fun. And yeah, we've got some good gigs booked, and we're excited to get out there and tour a little bit and travel and get out of the freezing snow. And
yeah, really.
I just spoke to my friend who's in Austin, and she said it's like 75 degrees and sunny, so I'm pretty pumped to get down there.
Yeah, nice. Your sound might change when you get out in the sun.
I know. It's like winter here and freezing and snowy, and definitely looking forward to spring.
If fans are interested in listening to your music now or checking you guys out live, where can they go to find out more information?
You know, if people want to check out the new songs, to go to our MySpace page.
Okay.
It's, you know, myspace.com/northernstate, and we have a couple of the new songs from our record up, you know, where you can hear them. And also, of course, our tour dates are there. And as we figure out the plans for the big tour, the dates will get posted as they get firmed up. So come see us play.
Do you mind just doing like a pirate shout out as far as just like
R
or something? Right on.
This is Sprout from Northern State.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Oh, that's really silly. All right, thank you guys so much.